What's up, guys? It's your boy Dylan at Thunder Jazz, and I'm here with a word from our sponsors, BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports contests and events with first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting, props, and futures. Just head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join today and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BLEAV50, that is BLEAV50 in all capital letters, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Topic Fandom Podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Huntzinger. We are part of the Believe Network, and I am joined today by someone who has decided that the fries are hitting just right and has encouraged me to dive in. We got my wife, Chelsea.
I don't even understand your reference.
It's from She-Hulk.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Okay, well, Chelsea, how are you doing today?
Great.
As always, we're fine, just fine.
A lot of noise in
there. Our baby's talking Morse code right now. It's just us today. There's no Alex. Alex is sick. Feels ill-timed after I made the leprosy joke last week. So sorry about that, Alex. Hope you're feeling better soon. But
I don't think you can catch leprosy in real life anymore.
Yes, I know, Chelsea. But anyways. we're here with another Double Dose podcast. I think this is what we're going to kind of do moving forward because, no, it doesn't suck. Stop. I actually enjoyed this episode compared to what a lot of people were saying. I saw a lot of people saying on Twitter, but it feels inconsequential to the wider MCU, so there's not as much theorizing going on as much as just kind of talking about what happened. So we're going to keep doing this Double Dose format until She-Hulk basically, you know, plays their cards and is like, hey, you need to dedicate a whole episode to us. So, we'll see. But we're going to start with She-Hulk. This was episode 6, I believe, right?
I have no clue.
Okay. That silence was way too long. Quick peek behind the curtain here. This is our first take right now. It's possible there's going to be like 10 takes because anytime me and Chelsea try to record something by ourselves, we usually get mad at each other. So bear with us here. So She-Hulk episode 6, I do believe it's episode 6. This whole episode kind of lays out in the beginning, like this has very low stakes. I think Jen even says when she breaks the fourth wall, she comes out and says, yeah, this is one of those self-contained wedding episodes. Mm-hmm. Which I think is kind of strategic, because what it does is it sets your expectations low, because the episode's called Just Jen. It says it's just a self-contained wedding episode, and it really makes you think that she's going to be Jennifer Walters for the entire episode.
It would have made more sense if she had just been Jennifer Walters for the whole episode, because right out the gate, you see her invited to this wedding. She's nervous to go because, like, this is a friend from college or something. She's not really kept up with her, but she felt obligated to be in the wedding. And then she shows up at the wedding as She-Hulk. Even though this friend, I mean, the friend obviously knows she's a She-Hulk, or she's She-Hulk or whatever, but, like, the friend didn't invite She-Hulk to the wedding. It makes no sense, really.
Well, the way, you know, the context that, like, we're forgetting to add is when she's telling Nikki about going to the wedding, she makes very clear, like, this isn't a close friend. This is a girl she went in high school. This is, like, not even, like, a friend of a friend. This is, like, a family friend. And
no, it was the opposite. No, it was, no, like, they grew up together, but they have not been friends since they've been, like, adults.
But she used the term, like, the verbiage, like, this is more of, like, an obligation invite. Like, I think she said that because Nikki asked, like, so why are you a bridesmaid? She's like, well, I felt obligated to, probably for the same reason that she felt obligated to even invite me. So that's why I was talking about the obligation thing.
I don't think you understand the inner workings of, like, being a bridesmaid.
Okay, so take two. No. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Yeah, so
anyway,
I mean,
she shows up at the wedding as a She-Hulk. Why?
Because that's what I'm saying. Like, she doesn't necessarily like this person. She doesn't necessarily want to play nice. And I think that she kind of had malicious intent and wanted to show her up at her own wedding.
Yeah, that just is, like, really annoying. And it doesn't seem, like, true to her character, like, as Jen. Like, it feels wrong. And it feels like it goes against everything that she's been saying about, like, herself through the whole show. Like, the whole point she's been trying to get across is that, like, she's accepted that she has to be Hulk at work now, but she is still trying to find, like, her normal life again as Jen, but then went out of her way to not be Jen in a situation where she could have just been Jen, and it would have made more sense if she had just been Jen. So then, once again, you have her show up as Hulk, only to then turn back into Jen. Huh?
She-Hulk.
Yeah, whatever. She turns in, she goes from She-Hulk back to regular Jen again, and then she's wearing oversized clothes and looking derpy and stupid the whole episode again.
No, it isn't oversized. It's fit that way on purpose, because that was the whole reason that she went to that Luke guy, so she could have clothes that fits her as She-Hulk and as Jen. Because whenever she was even talking to Nikki, she was like, do you want to see the dress that he made me?
To be She-Hulk.
But it's to go up and down, because that was the whole selling point in the whole episode, because she even shrunk back down, and then it was like the big box suit thing, and he's like, oh, that's what I'm working with. And so
the dress was still too big for her when she was Jen.
Well, to be fair, Tatiana Maslany is a very tiny person, so. But yeah, anyways, we stayed way too long in the opening scene.
Because the fact of the matter is, they missed epically here from jump, because there's no logic to what they're doing. They're, like, contradicting themselves entirely.
Well, I mean, it would be different if she pushed back whenever the bride, like, asked her, like, hey, like, this is my day. Like, I don't want everybody looking at you. Like, you know, be Jen. I don't want She-Hulk. It'd be different if she, like, pushed back and was like, no, you know, I don't want to be She-Hulk. I want this to be about me, blah, blah, blah. But, like, she was like, oh, yeah, crap. Like, my bad. Sorry. And
right,
like,
but, like, that shouldn't even have to be said.
Well, sure. But, I mean, you know, she backpedaled and she became Jen. And then they proceeded to treat her like crap. The entire time.
Yeah, that was inevitable because, like she said, they're not really friends anymore, and it was, you know, she was there because she had to be whatever. I mean, that doesn't make it okay or anything, but
yeah, she had to walk with a dog.
A dog that had just been resuscitated that morning.
A dog named Jonathan. Yeah. That dog's a hero. She had, she came out there during the reception, I believe. No, it wasn't in the reception. It was at, I think it was the rehearsal dinner, and was like, hey, you know, we're low on help. You care to just, you know, take all these empty glasses, maybe clean up a little bit. Like, where do people get off to say stuff like that?
I truly don't know.
Yeah, that's terrible. But
it really is. Like, it happens at weddings. Like, often. Think about how many weddings we've been to where, like, we've stayed late and cleaned up or helped set up, and we weren't, like, a part of the
hire. Well, we wasn't asked to. We just like pitching in, like trying to help out.
Sure. I. Okay.
A different podcast for a different day.
Yeah.
Different story. So, you know, like we said, you know, this was like a self-contained wedding episode, and that's how it was built at the beginning. And, you know, all the while this is happening, the B story, as Jen referred to it when she brought the fourth wall like two or three episodes ago, is going on with Nikki and, is her name Book?
I don't actually know.
Angelica? I think her name's Book. We literally just call her Angelica because she played Angelica Skyler in Hamilton. Literally anytime she comes on the screen, we go, Angelica! I love that we hit that at the same time. But there's a B plot with them representing just a terrible guy in Mr. Immortal, but I really enjoyed
that side story. Is better than every side plot of the show has been better.
That's a stretch. Let's not say every side plot.
I believe that every side plot has been more entertaining than anything that.
Okay, say that though. You stated it as a fact. I'm just saying, you said this earlier about podcast about like people saying them as fact. Like, just say like I feel like that. I'm just saying to say it. I'm not trying to start a fight.
It's not the same thing.
I'm about to get She-Hulked and Hulked out.
Anyway.
I meant to make a joke earlier that if she showed up as Hulk, that would truly be impressive.
I find that the side plots should be the ones that are inconsequential and are just there for, like, comedic relief. And, you know, they're just there.
For the most part, For the most part, they are.
Yeah, and I feel like most shows go that route, but I also feel like what even is the main storyline of the show at this point with Jen? Nothing has felt consequential. I thought we were working towards each episode kind of being this like a different case, or like the abomination, like I felt like we were starting to work towards something, only for these last two episodes to like halt any progress that we made.
Well, I would say, you know, I could see the story starting to take form because we're going back to the whole She-Hulk's blood and who around her is like there for, you know, normal, like right reasons. Like, she meets a guy there at the party, or at the wedding, I said the party. He's a friend of the groom's. And, you know, they hit it off in her drunken state. And he basically hints that he wants to see She-Hulk. And eventually She-Hulk does come out. It takes her a little bit. I really like that whole imagery, too. How, like, she was just, like, belligerently drunk. And she was trying to become She-Hulk, and she couldn't do it.
She's like, I forgot how.
Yeah, she said, I forgot how. And then, like, it shows you in her eyes. She's looking at Titania, who also shows up there, and they're about to fight. And she sees two of them, and all of a sudden she blinks, and she sees, like, perfectly clear, and then the camera shows her, and she's She-Hulk. That was a really cool thing. I enjoyed their fight scene, honestly. Like, I thought that the CGI actually looked pretty good in that scene, for me being a stick on CGI.
I'm just still, like, I don't understand why Titania is mad. So, like, she accidentally stumbled into the courtroom in, like, the first episode. Was that the first episode?
Mm-hmm.
And Jen, you know, had to fight her or whatever. So then she just has this vendetta against Jen. But, like, also, she shows up at the wedding and I don't know. I'm still just really, like, in the dark.
Yeah, Titania is a very mystery character, but one thing that's not a mystery is how many teeth she has now.
Like, what even is her powers? I don't know.
I'm
sure we'll get there.
But. Yeah, like I told you, like, off pod, like, Titania is supposed to be a Titan-sized person, and, like, she has super strength. And obviously, like, it's hard to make that look good in a TV show, let alone a Disney Plus TV show with not as big of a budget as, say, Game of Thrones, where they have giants, and the giants actually look believable. But, yeah. Anyways, you know, I mean, you know, they fought, and she smashed her veneers, and it was a very enjoyable scene. But the kind of the consequential thing that's happening in this episode, and it takes a long time to get there because, you know, like we said, it was set up as a self-contained wedding episode, was this whole plot of them trying to get She-Hulk's blood. And, you know, there's been, I think Feige said at D23 that She-Hulk's going to bleed directly into Captain America New World Order. There's rumors that She-Hulk's going to appear in that as well. So maybe it has something to do with maybe fashioning another super soldier serum out of She-Hulk's blood. Like, who knows? Like, yeah, I'm just theorizing. But something else that happens is after Nikki and Book kind of come to a settlement between Mr. Immortal and all of his many ex-lovers, in which Nikki just put on a masterclass of negotiating.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, and, you know, they were looking at a site that one of the lovers found Mr. Immortal on and realized, you know, his whole ploy, which, as I failed to mention, Mr. Immortal basically made these women fall in love with him, and then he'd get bored, and he would fake his death, and, you know, he's Mr. Immortal, it's in the name, so he wouldn't die, and he'd go off, and he'd find the next victim. And so, you know, they found out about the site, and they look at the site, and they realize that there's this whole She-Hulk hate campaign, which sounds like Chelsea might be a part of that as well, but
I would never join a hate group.
Yeah.
That's a bit much.
Yeah, no, but, who was
it? I
don't
dislike She-Hulk, either.
Yeah.
It's just the show, it's just,
okay. So you would be open to seeing She-Hulk in, like, Captain America New World Order?
I mean, I don't have disdain for, like, She-Hulk as a character like I do, like, Miss Marvel as a character.
Okay, this is another part for another day.
Like, She-Hulk's fine. I just don't think the show is that good.
But, you know, it's all coming to down to, like, you know, who really can you trust? Because, you know, as we talked about, this guy that she hit it off with, he really wants to see She-Hulk, and it feels like it's too good to be true. And as we saw in a couple episodes beforehand, whenever she hit it off with the guy that's was like, what, he was a pediatric.
Yeah, he was only interested in She-Hulk and not Jen.
Yeah, and
this guy was only interested in She-Hulk.
Well, it makes you wonder if it was, like, not just, like, a fetish for big green girls, or if it was, like, if there was, like, nefarious intentions.
No, I don't think he had nefarious intentions, but I think it left the door open for, like, this other guy to be interested in She-Hulk and not Jen. I mean, he did show interest in Jen, really. He did.
Yeah, but at that point, he knew, like,
yeah, but
who
but
Jen was.
What I mean is, it left the door open for her to be like, well, some guys are just, like, really into the She-Hulk thing, and, like, that's perfectly normal, and she doesn't find it suspicious. Although, at the time, she probably could read into it a little bit more, because it is sus.
Yeah, so I think that's kind of what it's
so
playing
into. So he's connected
into
to the people that jumped her before. Right?
The quote-unquote wrecking crew.
Yeah, the wrecking crew that we're presuming is connected to this Facebook hate group.
And this is probably where Daredevil is going to come into play eventually.
So
and we do know Daredevil is coming in the show. We saw the teaser last week. We've seen the scene in the trailer that Chelsea just saw. They showed I think they showed, like, an extended scene at D23 of Daredevil and She-Hulk actually, like, bantering back and forth as they're, like, staking out a warehouse. So we know that's coming. It's just, you know, how is it going to play into the storyline? And I think it's going to boil down to Daredevil is going to help She-Hulk take down the people that are going after her blood, or at least find out more information about it, which would lead into Captain America New World Order, theoretically. I swear, it gets harder and harder to say that every time.
Theoretically?
No, Captain America New World Order.
Oh.
Okay.
Captain America New World Order.
Okay, you said it slow, though. You like
Captain America New World Order.
Okay.
World War III? World War Hulk?
Aha!
No, I literally cannot say World War. Why is it so hard?
We did have an Easter egg of her trying to get a hold of Bruce, and she's like, I haven't talked to you in, like, days or weeks or months. I don't know. It all runs together at this
point.
Anyway,
also, like, why is she calling Hulk at a wedding randomly? Just because they needed to throw that in there? Because
she's sloppy drunk, man. She's just trying to talk to somebody. She felt uncomfortable.
I want all the pieces to connect at the end of the day. I think they probably will, and I think it'll be fine. But this is something that a lot of the Marvel shows have struggled with, is the pacing. We're on episode 6 of 10.
Is it 10? I thought there was more.
I'm not sure. I'm just guessing, because most of them have been 10. But either way, we're on 6 of however many, and it doesn't feel like there's a lot of time yet. And it feels like the last two episodes were so inconsequential that it's going to be a rushed ending.
Like, it's 9 episodes.
Yeah. That's so stupid. So. I mean, not stupid. Like, if they could give us 9 fully packed episodes of good content and not, like, nonsense.
Well, that tells me Daredevil's got to be, like, coming in, like, right. Next episode.
It's going to be a super rushed ending.
Yeah, theoretically. We'll see.
All right, moving on.
Theoretically. Hold on. I do have to say that, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the Pugs erasure from this episode. We don't appreciate it. Disney, stop doing it.
Give us more
Pug. Give us more poop map. Well, Chelsea, after... It? More poop map?
Oh, poop map, yeah.
Chelsea, after having to go through 20 seconds of eye contact, what is your rating for the show?
What's he saying?
I don't know.
Okay,
our son Anakin's talking upstairs. I think he's talking to our son Slade. And our son Nova's in there babbling in the other room. So.
He's talking very loudly. I give it a nothing. It's just mid.
A mid? You just... give it a mid? I give it a thumbs up. I think my expectations were kind of low just because of what everybody was saying on social media. But I don't know. I enjoyed the episode. I enjoyed the jokes that that came out of it. Like, I really enjoyed, even though I think his purposes may have been nefarious, the guy.
Yeah, I liked his
character. What was his name? Greg? Jeff?
You keep asking me people's names.
Yeah, names are hard. Anyways, I really enjoyed him and Jennifer Walters. Why did I say Jennifer Walters? Him and Jen's chemistry and interactions. Is her name not Jennifer? Just the way that was playing off each other. Yeah, but everybody calls her Jen, and I don't know why. That's I pulled out the first name and last name. And I enjoyed Nikki and Angelica's B story too.
I like Angelica as a character. She's great.
Yeah.
I need more of her. Her name's not Angelica, but
well, it could be.
Okay. Let's talk about House of Dragon.
Alright, well, yeah, thumbs up for me. So alright, we're gonna dive into House of Dragon. I hate you for that. That makes me very angry.
There's a marker so you know where it starts.
I just deleted it. That's where we was going to start. Okay. Pete behind the curtain, Nova was whining, so I had to go give him his sloth so he would go to sleep. And I came back, and I deleted where I said that I was going to do that. And then Chelsea, as soon as I hit record, goes... All right, anyways, let's get into Chelsea's favorite show ever, House of Dragon.
Calm down.
And,
favorite show ever? No.
Oh, yeah, let's discuss this really fast. Right now, 5 episodes in? Yeah, no, mm-hmm. 6 episodes in to House of Dragon mm-hmm. versus 6 episodes in to Game of Thrones. What do you think?
I don't know. The first season of Game of Thrones was, like, slow for me. I watched it, and then I kind of, like, found myself like realizing that I wasn't paying all that much attention at certain parts, and so then I rewatched season 1 all over again, and then I was like, okay, now I'm in it. So I'm more invested in this season 1 just because I like know what to expect.
You know what's happening.
Also, I didn't watch Game of Thrones as like obviously as it was on TV. I binged it later, and I went into it kind of like, it can't be as good as everyone says it is. Obviously, I was wrong. Like, I loved it, but yeah, I went into it with, like, a different mindset.
Well, speaking of knowing what to expect, we knew that going into this episode, things were changing. There was a 10-year time jump, and let me tell you, I got thoughts.
Yeah.
My biggest thing in the 10-year time jump is, so obviously we open and Rhaenyra is giving birth to a baby. We don't know how many babies she has at this point. Sounds. Yeah, the wet squelching. So she has the baby, and immediately they're like, oh, the queen wants to see the baby. And we don't really understand why. We think it's just the queen being the dick, but it turns out
she wanted to
see the hair.
Yeah, she wanted to, like, confirm that it was, in fact, another.
Yeah, and so we see Lenore meet Rhaenyra as she's about to leave. He's like, it's a boy, like, joyous day, like, so excited. And he's like, where are you going? Why are you up? And she's like, the queen wants to see him. And so, like, they're, you know, they're going back and forth and they're talking. And it makes you think they have, like, a pretty amicable relationship.
Yeah, it really does.
And, you know, it makes you think that the whole deal that they struck up was going to work out. And then they get upstairs and, you know, they're like, oh, what's his name? And before she can say anything, Lenor says Joffrey. And, you know, the episode before that is when we saw Crispin Cole just bash Joffrey.
His whole face in.
Joffrey.
I don't know his name.
Yeah.
Night of Kisses.
Yeah, the Night of Kisses. We saw him bash Joffrey's face in, so... To us, it makes sense that, like, okay, well, he wants to remember his lover, and he wants to name his kid that. And, you know, if it's his firstborn and it's, like, fresh, okay, so I kind of understand it.
But in the books, Lenor petitions for the firstborn to be Joffrey. But Corlys insists on it having a true Valyrian name. And so that's where they come up with Jacaerys. So he was trying to get Joffrey to be a name all along.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I mean, though. Yeah. It doesn't tell you until you meet the other kids that this is kid number three. It's like, oh, like, you know, we're introducing this baby.
But we've seen it, Joffrey. The other kids in the trailer, so.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, you know, just the name and everything. And Alicent delivers the line of, keep trying, Sir Lenor. Maybe eventually one will look like you. Yeah. And it's like the shade was thrown. But yeah, like, and anyways, you know, you see them back in Rhaenyra's chamber. She has the baby. Lenor's there. And Jace and Luke are there as well. And they're with Sir Harwin Strong, who we know as the viewer that is the father to not one, not two, but all three of the kids. It's not Lenor, and basically, they've had this whole relationship. We haven't seen but one interaction whenever she is going through, what, is it Flea Bottom? Is that what they call it? Whenever she's running through Flea Bottom dressed like a boy with Daemon, that she interacts with Harwin Strong, and we're just supposed to accept that not only did they have a relationship, but it's been a 10-year strong relationship in which they've had three kids.
It's pretty annoying. It's annoying for a lot of reasons, but especially because they did not have to do it this way. Yeah. They could have given us an entire first season with the younger actors and really fleshed out these dynamics with Rhaenyra and Lenor also, because clearly we see that things go awry just from the beginning. Like, they had an idea of what their marriage was going to look like, and immediately that was wrecked. But then to see Rhaenyra end up with Harwin, and even really before that, like, we didn't get to see Alicent marry Viserys. Like, we missed a lot, and I don't really feel like it's benefiting the story at all. And then, you know what, on top of that, homie dies in this episode.
Yeah, like, and we're supposed to, like, we saw a TikTok before this, but I was feeling this in the moment, like, we haven't seen them
so kiss.
We haven't seen them hug.
Barely speak to each other.
They didn't hug. Like, they just said goodbye.
You know, maybe they're really trying to get across, like, even though they did have kids together and there was obviously, like, rapport and they cared for each other or whatever, at the end of the day, this is not a story about Harwin, and it's not their love story. It is ultimately going to end up Daemon and Rhaenyra. And I guess that they really just wanted to fast forward and get there as quick as possible, because that's what it's all leading up to. The very next episode is going to be them together.
Well, speaking of Damon and Lana, or speaking of Damon, that was another thing that we completely missed with the whole time jump is...
I mean, we did see a little bit of Damon flirting with her.
Yeah, I mean, that's it, though. Yeah. Like,
but that was more than we got with her and Harwin.
Well,
and
I'm not even talking about the relationship in this and what we missed. I'm talking about, what is the show called?
House of Dragons.
And what is the biggest, oldest dragon that was alluded to in the second episode? Like... I wanted to see Lena find Vhagar. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see Lena bond with Vhagar and Vhagar choose her as a dragon rider. Like, we just see We just see Caraxes just floating above the ocean, flying like crazy. And then we see this giant dragon, and it's like, oh. That's Vhagar. Like, it was cool, like, in the moment. Mm-hmm. CGI was very bad.
Yeah.
But it was cool in the moment, but at the same time, it's like...
How did we get here?
I feel like we missed so much.
Why did we get to experience it?
Yeah.
It really is exceptionally frustrating because we got the foreshadowing of Lena talking to Viserys about Vhagar, and... you know, from the texts of the Fire and Blood, Lena's a fangirl for
Vhagar.
I kept wanting to say Rhaegar. Lena is a fangirl for Vhagar. So her asking Viserys about Vhagar earlier in the season, it was like obviously a nod to what is coming. Why didn't we get to see it? Why? I'm upset. And you know what's even more triggering is now we're going to have to watch someone else take Vhagar. And it's like, so, it's like, don't throw that in our face.
And we get to see that. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, the fact of the matter is I have to keep reminding myself that like the story isn't about them. The story really starts with all of their kids. The battle itself, the dance of the dragons, it really does predominantly revolve around their kids fighting for their separate houses. And I understand why they like made this choice to do the fast forward, but I just really wish that they had given us more time with the younger characters, and it would have benefited the, like, I don't know how to explain what I'm trying to say, but, like, it would have gotten us there more efficiently, I guess. Like, we would have been able to understand these characters tenfold more than we ever will be able to.
Yeah, and, like, spoiler alert, like, Lena dies at the end of this episode.
So we're like...
And, you know, there's obviously, like, the heartbreaking scene where, like, she thinks that Damon's gonna choose to save her, the baby, over her, which he doesn't. Like, he's not, like, very differently than Viserys. Like, he doesn't choose to save the baby. He hasn't made a decision. And there's a lot of people that think that he even starts to shake his head whenever he, like, realizes that Lena's gone. But she runs, like, off of the birthing bed to Vhagar and just cries, Dracarys.
That scene was, like, gut-wrenching.
And Vhagar's, like, confused, like, Mama?
Like, are you sure?
Like, what? And, like, it takes, like, 4 or 5 times for her to say it until, like, finally she says it and, like, uses, like, all of her strength to do it. And she, like, basically, like, just starts weeping. Yeah, like,
Vhagar's like, okay, fine.
Uncontrollably. And she's like, all right, well, I'm old. It's going to take a little bit for me to charge this up right quick. But, yeah, sure enough, like, you know, Damon tried to stop her. Like, he realized what was happening.
I don't think he was trying to stop her. Well, I think he was just, you know, going out there with her in solidarity. Because they had literally just had a conversation of, like, I don't want to die here in Pentos. I want to die at Dragonriders. I don't want to
be a fat, rich person.
Yeah, like, she made her wishes and intentions very clear. She had been making them very clear all episode, but he is hiding from something and doesn't want to go back and face the music at the Red Keep, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, and I kind of get it if I'm Damon, because like nobody wants him at the Vale where he killed his wife. Nobody wants him at Dragonstone. Nobody wants him at the Red Keep for obvious reasons in King's Landing. Like, he's there in Pentos, and everybody loves him, reveres him, basically like worships the ground that he walks on.
Why would he want to go anywhere else?
Yeah.
But I do want to say, Lena's death in the book is a little different. Mm-hmm. I told you this last night. She does give birth to the baby. The baby doesn't make it. And she holds on for a few more days. She's on her deathbed, but she's struggling. And Rhaenyra is with her the whole time. They're, like, great friends. Rhaenyra is there supporting her. And Rhaenyra has already lost Harwin, and Laenor has already died in the books as well. And so as she's struggling, and you know, Rhaenyra is there with her and Daemon, like, super weird dynamic going on. Some, like,
another thing that was erased from the time jump is Rhaenyra and Laena's relationship.
Yeah, they, well, I mean, they gave us a little hint at it, like, when they did land on Driftmark, she was like, come on, cousin, let's go and let's frolic around and be teenage girls. Like, let's, that was good enough. Around. But anyway, Laena, in as she realizes she's dying, she wants to ride Vhagar one more time, and she wants to die a dragon rider's death. And so she makes her way out to Vhagar, and just as she's about to mount Vhagar, she dies and doesn't actually get to have a final ride, but at least dies with her dragon.
Yeah,
so, and similar enough, but
yeah, you touch on the children, and you know, we're already here, so let's talk about the their children. Which, do you know their names?
Bela is one of them. I can't remember the other one. They're supposed to be twins, but they're not.
Yeah, so one of them has a dragon and can ride the dragon. One of them does not have a dragon, is desperately trying to get that dragon egg to hatch, and we find out it's because Daemon has a favorite kid, and it's the one that has a dragon.
I don't know if that's why her dragon hasn't hatched.
No, that's not what I'm saying. No, I'm not saying that's why. I'm saying, like, that's why she desperately wants it to hatch.
Oh, sure. Yeah. She ends up with the dragon, but
yeah, I'm sure. But, like, and now that relationship, that need of relationships is even exacerbated with the fact that her mom died, and you know, that's who she was closest to, and so Daemon's gonna have to be the father that stepped up.
Well, now they're all gonna go back to King's Landing.
Alright, spoiler alert there. Cool.
Actually, I think they go back to Dragonstone.
Well, yeah, and speaking
has just ended.
Yeah, speaking of Dragonstone, Rhaenyra makes a last ditch effort after all these accusations of all these correct accusations of Harwin Strom being the father to not one, not two, but all three of her kids, tries to form an alliance with Alicent by offering to marry her firstborn with Luna Lovegood. And they said on the House of R too. Like, I said that while we was watching the episode.
I mean, she's definitely, I don't know that much about her character from the books, but that was weird. She was off.
Yeah.
She was in her own little world, but she said some really significant things.
Yeah, and they was like, you know, let's marry them off, you know, join our houses together again, strong, and Viserys is all about it. He's like, what a lovely proposition.
It really is a great idea, and if Alicent wasn't such a twat, it would have solved all of their problems, truly.
It's like when Viserys was like, how did the birthing go? And he goes, I think I called the midwife a cunt.
Uh-huh, yeah. But, you know, Alicent doesn't want to marry her daughter to someone who she knows to be a bastard. Which, fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw this argument a lot on the interweb. That's like, Cersei's kids were not Robert Baratheon's kids, but that didn't seem like a big deal to anybody. Why is it such a big deal that Rhaenyra's kids don't have true parentage? And really, it should be the opposite, that everyone should have been more pressed about Joffrey being a bastard because he didn't have any Baratheon blood. He was strictly Lannister, whereas at least Rhaenyra's kids are Targaryens.
Yeah.
Because she is a Targaryen.
She did throw just like a tiny bit of shade in there by saying, my son, Jaehaerys?
What's his
name? Jaehaerys. Jaehaerys is the old guy that chose Viserys. Okay. Sorry, all these names are the same.
Someone else is named Jaehaerys later.
So. Okay. Well, she's like, my son, Jaehaerys, the heir to the throne. You know, she just kind of threw that in there in her proposition, and I think, you know, that made it bite a little bit. So, but,
speaking of Jaehaerys, let's just talk about all the kids' dynamic
here. Well, I was talking about how, like, they're all migrating to Dragonstone because she feels alienated and isolated in her own home. Like, well, her own dad happens. Can't help her because, basically, Alicent has taken over full puppeteers, pulling all the strings, including her dad. Like, she's being sweet to him at first, like, fluffing up his pillow, wrapping him in a blanket, and as soon as she doesn't get her way, she just throws the pillow at him, walks out the room.
Well, okay, you're jumping ahead, though, because what led up to that?
We've jumped all over the place.
Okay, but I'm trying to get you to go in a circle here.
I know, but I was already talking about them going to Dragonstone, so I was just talking about how they got to Dragonstone. Like,
why are you talking about Dragonstone when you haven't talked about what got them there?
Because we just said Daemon went to Dragonstone, and I was saying Rhaenyra's also going to Dragonstone.
You have to trace it in a circle, Dylan. You're literally going like this all over the place. Stop. It doesn't make any sense when you jump back and forth.
Continue. About the kids. Aegon, Aemon, Jaehaerys,
okay,
and Lucerys.
So, the first look we actually get of the kids is in the dragon pit.
The pig dragon.
We see Aegon, Aemon, Jace, and Luke. Jace is going to interact with his dragon. He's learning how to control his dragon. He gets to tell his dragon. I don't know what any other dragons' names are, by the way.
Yeah, I'm trying to look
up. I can't remember. I think Aegon has Sunfire. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm probably very wrong.
Yes, anyway. Aegon has Sunfire. I'm 90% sure.
So, yeah, we get to see Jace, you know, save Dracarys. He's really excited to save Dracarys and kill the, was it sheep or a goat?
Vermax is his dragon.
That's Jace's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a... Yes. It doesn't matter. It was one of those things.
And then, you know, all the kids are poking fun at Aemon because he does not have a dragon. Even little Luke, the younger one, he already has a dragon. I believe that all their dragon's eggs hatched, all three of theirs. But Aemon's did not, and he hasn't matched with another dragon. And they're giving him a hard time about it, play a little prank on him with a pig, you know, whatever. Then he escapes off to the dungeons to go look at another dragon and nearly gets offed by... I'm not sure which one that was. Do you know?
I assume. No, I don't know.
I thought I was a little bit pissed in this moment because I thought that they were...
Oh, it was Dreamfire.
I thought they were going ahead and I thought he was going to walk down in the tunnel and come across Vhagar and he was going to... match with Vhagar right then and there. I was pissed because I was like, if they ruin this, I won't watch the rest of the show. But thankfully they didn't do that and we got to see Vhagar with Laena at least once.
Yeah.
But anyways, the next scene we have with the kids is they're all combating in the field and Mr. Crispin...
Well, first you have the Alicent interaction with Aegon in his room in which he's going full Homelander.
Yeah, that was really...
Relieving himself to King's Landing.
That was really unnecessary, honestly.
Yeah, just...
I mean, I think it was to show Aegon's true, like...
He's boyish a nature.
Boy. Yeah, he's not worried about being king. He really doesn't care all that much about it. You know, fair enough. Alicent's all pressed. Why, I don't really understand. Yeah, I feel like we could have done without all that, but whatever.
Dreamfire is also apparently Helena's dragon. Luna Lovegood.
So then whose is?
Sunfire is Aegon's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You said Dreamfire.
Yeah. So yeah, Sunfire, is... Dreamfire. Moonfire. No, I'm just kidding.
Who is it?
Vermax is Jace's, and we haven't seen it yet.
I know.
This is just the dragons that we've seen.
All right. Anyway, moving on. So the boys are roughing it up in the field. Viserys is having a good old time watching him. Sir Crispin's being a major pain in everyone's butt. And then Sir Harwind comes in and adds fuel to the fire.
I would say Sir Harwin was being fair.
Yeah, no, in his critique. He was a dad. He wasn't.
Well, not even as a dad, just like as the war commander of the Night's Watch. Sure. For him to be like, hey, listen, like these guys, like he's the actual like heir to the throne.
Yeah.
Like maybe you should also show some attention to him.
The problem is that it's not his place, and. You know, that gets him and Crispin all mad, and...
I wanted to see them actually, like, battle.
No, I think I liked Harwin just pounding his face in.
Well, I didn't, because of the consequences of it.
Well, yeah, but, I mean...
Should have challenged him to a duel. Trial by combat.
Anyway, so, yeah, that all leads to... Lionel resigning... Viserys won't let him. You know, all of this is like, it's important, but it isn't like the most important, because essentially it's just getting us all to the place where
it's putting the pieces where they need to be.
Yeah.
And in the midst of all this, Alicent is, you know, like I said, pulling the strings. You know, she's talking to Crispin about Rhaenyra, and Crispin.
He also calls her a cunt.
Does he call her that?
He does.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, I know he said spoiled, and I thought he called her a brat. But yeah, anyways, he's still very scorned after this teenager didn't want to give away her life, her family, her titles to go run off and marry him. And for whatever reason, he's decided to just go, like, hell-bent revenge on this girl. And, you know, he's loyal to Alicent at a fault. And basically, you know, Alicent is talking to Kristen about how, like, can nobody else see that this is Harwin Strong's kids? Like, you know, basically trying to play holier than thou. Because what's funny about it all, and they talked about this in House of R, about, you know, Viserys kind of not knowing what's going on in his own house, because all these accusations are being pointed at Rhaenyra with Harwin, and everything with Harwin, you know, not even like really hurting Crispin Cole. Like he might have broke his nose. I don't know. Like he was bloody for sure. But that was on the training grounds. Like that was very contained. Crispin Cole literally bashed a dude's skull in a very public setting in front of all the citizens of King's Landing, all the lords of Westeros in the Great Hall. And now, instead of him being punished at all, he's the bodyguard to the queen.
Yeah, I mean...
Like, so that's a little bit... There's some double standards and some shadiness.
Obviously, she pulled power moves, and he's feeling... loyal to her because she essentially saved him from, if he hadn't tried to kill himself, like she could have had him killed for admitting what he had done.
Castrated
and killed her, whatever. Anyway, so he is kind of being like coerced, and like he feels like he owes her something. So it's like he is doing it as a scorned lover, but also, like, he feels indebted to her. So there's, like, a lot of layers to it. Either way, he sucks, you know? Like, it super sucks to see him make such a total flip, because he was such... He's an interesting character.
Yeah.
And it kind of always makes you think, like... like, is something, could something secretly be going on with him and Allison, but she's far too righteous.
It's a super whore than thou. Yeah, and I mean, shout out Chris Ryan on the House of Our pod, or it was actually Talk of Thrones, House of Our, Ringerverse, whatever.
Like,
there's so many little subsidiaries of that podcast, but he was saying that Allison basically is venting to Kristen, like, why can't nobody else see that Harwin is the father? And Kristen hears, like, oh, I need to go do something about this. And later on, she's talking to Laris and their little candlelit steak dinners that they're having. And basically, like, there's no, like, is nobody on my side in all of the realm? Not even my husband, nobody, which I feel like there's a lot of people on her side in the realm. But anyways.
Yeah, she's and, having a bit of a pity party.
And what Laris hears is, oh, I need to go get your dad. Like, I need to make it possible for your dad. And he kills his brother. He kills his dad in a fire of Harrenhal. And, yeah, I mean, it's just... And then she's appalled by it. Like, she's mad about it.
Well, I think, again, you've got Allison confiding in people, Crispin and Laris.
I love that we continuously call him Crispin.
Always.
That makes me happy.
Especially because he's a... baby back trick.
Is Laris actually called Limping Larry, or is that just something?
It's Clubfoot.
Okay. Well, somebody called him Limping Larry. I didn't know if that was canon or not.
Anyway, she's venting to them, and I think it surprises her that both of them take just, like, her regular, like, complainings into action. They both kind of did. You know, Crispin took it upon himself to... you know, poke the bear and get Sir Harwin a little bit wound up, and Laris took it upon himself to off his brother and his dad. And then I think Allison is, like, shocked because she doesn't want to be complicit in this, but she's also like, okay, these people listen to me. What else can I get them to do? And it's going to be a snowball effect for her.
Yeah, and, you know, that was basically kind of the last straw of Rhaenyra, kind of going full circle back to where I was talking about going to Dragonstone. All these things happen. We don't really know if she knows that Harwin died.
She doesn't know by the end of the episode.
Yeah, so...
she decides to leave when Sir Harwin tells her that he is going back to Harrenhal to take his place as Lord of Harrenhal. And she's like, okay, I don't have anything left here. These people aren't on my side. Like, even my dad wouldn't marry my kid to his kid. She's like, there's no reason for us to stay here. It's not safe.
And she was getting fed up with everybody. The line that she had to Laenor when Laenor came in there drunk, yeah, and was like, I want to go back to war. And she's like, you know, I'm sitting here trying to raise three kids by myself, trying to fend off all these people coming at me and our kids. And you're sitting there trying, wagging your sword. You want to go sit and wag your sword and wink at sailors.
Yeah, so, I mean, her and Laenor's relationship's clearly not as, like, good as they painted it out in the first scene. You see the cracks in it. And I think that, you know, both of them escaping to Dragonstone gives them the privacy. They probably should have done that to begin with. If
with
they
Carl
really,
with a Q.
Huh?
With Carl with a Q.
Yeah, it's just like, bring Carl and let's, you know, let's keep our arrangement going, but let's do it elsewhere so that people aren't in our business all the time.
She basically said she's, like, done with it all because, you know, he said, whenever she said, I want to go to Dragonstone, I want to leave, that was Laenor's first thing. Like, I thought you said, like, you know, how can you defend your... you know, your claim to the throne, your kid's claim to the throne, whatever. And she was basically like, I'm over it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yep, so it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. But kind of final thoughts before we get to rating the episode. What was your overall thoughts of the new actors? The older actors?
Yeah, I think they're all great. I don't have any complaints. The only thing I told you is that I know they casted the older actresses first.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she did great in her own right. And I think she does look so similar to Millie. Is that her name?
Millie Alcock.
The other one is Emily, right?
Emily Dorsey.
I always get it backwards. Anyways, I think she looks so much like her, but their teeth are so different that it really just, it irritates me. It's so not relevant, but it's just one of those things that's like such profound features on both of them that are totally different. Anyway, whatever. I think everybody did a good job.
Yeah, I enjoyed her. I enjoyed older Lanor for what he was. I enjoyed older Lana.
I don't know. He like looks like someone to me, and I just can't figure it out, and driving me bat crap crazy.
Is that the same guy that played Harwin in the other episode? Yeah. Okay, we've never really got to see his face really good. Oh, no, he was in the last episode with Laris. Which makes Laris just, like, thoughtlessly killing his family a little bit more questionable. But, yeah, you know, Alex referred to him as Littlefinger.
Yeah, he's very Littlefinger-esque.
Littlefinger, but he's got some Qyburn in him. Because he's pulling dude from the cells, and like he's taking their tongues out, like, you know, Qyburn, like, I mean, he did more like experimenting and stuff. Yeah, he did more like experimenting with the prisoners, but like in terms of like invoking the prisoners, yeah, the only one that like really bothered me was I hate the character of Alicent. But I think that's probably because the actress is doing a good job of making me hate her. So,
yeah.
I guess I have no complaints there as well.
I think, like, younger Alicent until, like, the last episode, episode 5, where she, you know, put on the green dress and, like, her pages really started to turn. I think she did such a good job of making us, like, feel for her. Like, feel bad for her situation, like...
Sympathetic.
Yeah, like, really feel sympathetic. And now it's like, I got no love for you. Although, just to be really clear, I don't think Rhaenyra is the best fit to be queen.
Well, I mean...
We'll see.
There's an argument to be had that she was the one doing the most queenly things at that small council meeting that we got to see. And she was even bored.
Yeah, she did pretty good in the council meeting. But, like, she still, I mean, like, teenage Rhaenyra was definitely only always thinking about herself. And it seems like she's stepped out of that a little bit, but at the end of the day, I feel like that's her nature. She doesn't, like, get the full scheme of it all. It doesn't matter, because she's gonna die, but...
Also, shout out, Ned Gowan from Outlander, his character in the small council, just bringing up a subject that was already dismissed. Gotta love that guy. But all right, Chelsea, it's that time for the rating of the episode.
The episode as it was, I will give it 2 thumbs up because it gave us a lot of content. I very much enjoyed, like, the Daemon and Lena side story. They even kind of described it as, like, a short movie within the episode. I thought all of that was great. I even thought, like, I mean, a lot of the conversations were really, I like the episode, I just hate the pacing. I just want it to slow down a little bit.
Yeah. A lot. I can't in good conscience give this 2 thumbs up because that would mean that, like, I'm perfectly satisfied with everything that happened. And the thing that was missing to me was just the, you know, the things that I said at the very beginning about, you know, the time jump. And, you know...
You just can't do anything about that.
I know, but, like, I can still mourn for it.
Sure, but that doesn't change the episode itself.
I mean, it changes my view of the episode. Can't change my rating of my opinion.
I'm not. I'm just arguing that, like, that doesn't necessarily make the most sense.
Okay, so you're just saying I'm stupid. That's cool. That's cool.
Huh?
So you're just saying I'm stupid. That's cool. That's cool.
I never said you were stupid, but now you're being stupid, so.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah, but no, I'll give it a thumbs up because I really feel like those things that we're missing, you know, had we seen those play out in a couple more episodes, would have gone a much longer way and would have really paid off. Mm-hmm. And just want to say that of the kids, like, I liked Luke and Jace. I even liked Aegon. And Helena was cool. I don't know. Wait, I thought he was funny.
Talk about Helena. and all of her random nonsense she was spattering. Because what she said was very significant.
Yeah, it's foreshadowing. And, like, do you want to get into spoiling stuff right now, though?
Always. I love spoilers. Okay. Don't listen if you don't want to hear spoilers.
Well,
I mean, we don't have to, whatever.
Okay, yeah, I was just saying we was about to close out. I just wanted to end with Aemon's a twat.
Why? He didn't do anything in this episode.
He gave me huge Malfoy vibes.
No, he sucks. Don't get me wrong, but he didn't do anything in this episode.
Well, like, in the yard, like, when the kids are interacting, and I know you said, like, they don't like each other at all, but, like, you could tell that, like, Aegon, Luke, and Jace are, like, closer to each other than any of them with Aemon. And even in the yard,
all being mean to Aemon.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. And, like, even in the training yard, like, whenever they're, like, going back and forth trading dummies, like, Aegon, like, you know, he puts his hand on the back of one as they're passing, and then Aemon, like, shoulder, like, bumps into them as they're passing. You could just see, like, the difference in the characters. Like, Aegon, even, like, whenever he's having that conversation with Alicent, and, you know, he's like, okay, well, I just won't challenge for the throne. Like, he just, you know, he seems like a chill dude. This is what I'm saying. Aegon's probably a good hang. But Aemon is very much not, like, he...
No, I mean, they both suck.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying, like, from what we've seen, like, in this episode, like, Aemon seems... I gotta stop calling him Aemon. Aemon seems like a lot more of a twat than Aegon. That was my observation.
Okay.
Okay, cool. All right, well, when you start sounding like Viserys, it's time to end the podcast, so...
Yikes, when's this man gonna die?
Yeah, I know, I thought this happened last episode. He literally passed out at the end of the episode.
I think next episode.
Yeah. It's possible. I'm trying to think.
Seven?
I don't know. He might last the rest of the season.
No, he definitely doesn't last the rest of the season. I know Paddy Constantine's not in the whole season. These headphones are hurting my ears. Bye, guys. Thanks for listening.
All right. Well, since Alex isn't here, I got to do it for him.
No, just don't.
Nerd up and geek out. See y'all next time. Thank you for listening to the Topic Fandom Podcast, part of the Beleave Network. Our podcast can be found on Apple, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, or anywhere else you listen to your podcast. Find our podcast, leave us a 5-star rating and positive review, and spread the word if you enjoyed it while we try to grow this thing. Until then, nerd up and geek out.